Perfect.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We're going to learn today a little bit from Parshas Toldos. We're going to do something a little bit different today than we usually do. Usually we read the text and we learn the text, you know, very carefully. We're going to do something a little bit different. I read something today. I was out of town this past week and I was reading some books I don't normally get a chance to open up. And I read something interesting, and so I wanted to share it with you. So if you turn to page 130 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumashim, page 130, if you're using a different Chumash, so you're in Bereishis Perek Chav Vav, Pasuk Yud Aleph, page 130 for us. All right. So we have Yitzchak, right? This week's parsha, we have Yitzchak. The focus has shifted from Avraham to Yitzchak. In Yitzchak, we only have a focus on Yitzchak for a very short amount of time, right? And already starting next week's parsha, already starting with Parshas Vayetze, so the focus shifts from Yitzchak onto Yaakov, so we have very little about Yitzchak, but this week's parsha, the focus is on Yitzchak, and so Yitzchak goes, there's a famine, you remember, there's a famine, and Yitzchak travels to Gerar, and Yitzchak settles in Gerar, and so this brings us right here to Yitzchak in Gerar, and so in Pasuk Yud Aleph, so Vayitzav Avimelech es kol ha'am le'mor hanogea b'isha ze'u v'ishto mos yumas. Avimelech says, everybody leave Yitzchak and Rivka alone. Nobody bother them. Nobody give them any trouble. Let them be. Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ha'hi, and Yitzchak planted in that land. Meaning Yitzchak settled and he planted. He planted crops. I don't know exactly what he planted, but he planted crops. Right? Yitzchak planted in that land. Va'yimtza ba'shana ha'hi me'osh she'arim va'yivarchehu Adonai. And Yitzchak, he found that he brought in me'osh she'arim 100 times what he should have brought in. A tremendous bracha that God blessed Yitzchak. A tremendous bracha. Right? Yitzchak had all of this stuff. And then the Torah tells us, "Va'yigdal ha'ish va'yelech haloch ve'gadel ad ki gadal ma'od." And Yitzchak continued to grow and prosper. Yitzchak became tremendously prosperous. And we could keep reading and read everything that he had: miknet, son, bakar. He had tremendous amounts of cattle. Yitzchak got rich. He got rich, right? He opened wells. He had water, which is a tremendous commodity in that area of the world, by the way. I think right now it's raining in Israel, if my information serves me correctly. I think it's raining right now, which is very, very good, right? It's sometimes they don't have any water. I remember when I was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, there was one day we woke up. It wasn't a surprise because they told us the night before that it was going to happen. I remember one day we woke up and there was no water in the faucet. There was no water. They didn't have water. So there were days where you had water. This is not a long time ago when I was in Yeshiva. So what was this in the late 90s? When I was in Yeshiva. This is not all that long ago. 10 years ago. And we had no water one morning. I remember it was a big shiloh, the Rosh Yeshiva, trying to figure out what we should do for Netilas Yadayim in the morning. It wasn't really such a big deal. They told us, they knew it's Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, it's fine. But all these things that you read sometimes and you don't think, oh come on, when is that gonna happen? Right? But it happens. It happens. But right now it's raining. So water was a big deal. So he had water, a tremendous commodity. There's an interesting Rambam that I wanted to share with you based on these psukim. The Rambam, if you want to look it up later, is in Hilchos Malachim Perek Tes. But let me read you the Rambam. Everybody with me? Yeah? I'll read you a Rambam. Al shisha dvarim nitztave Adam Harishon. Adam Harishon received 6 commands from God. 6. Adam got 6 commands from God. Everybody ready? Al avodah zarah, not to worship idols. Va'al birchas Hashem, not to curse God. Va'al shvichas damim, not to kill. Va'al gilui arayos, not to have illicit relations. Va'al hagezel, not to steal. Va'al hadinim, and to set up courts. 6 commands that Adam Arishon got from God. 6. And we have a Kabbalah. Anybody help me? English? Kabbalah. passed down from one to the next, a tradition, that's the good word, a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu, v'hada'as note lahen, very interesting, the Rambam says, and even though they make sense, they're logical. Remember we learned a couple of weeks ago, I don't remember when it was, that some of the Rishon thought that something that's logical, it's as if God commanded it. But Rambam here doesn't necessarily assume that way, right? And it's logical. Michlal divrei Torah yirashal elu nitzdave. But we see from the Torah that Adam HaRishon was commanded with these six things. Now, I should turn that off next week. Somebody remind me to turn that off next week. All right. Hosif lenoach eiver minachai. Noach got a seventh, so there were six. Noach got a seventh. Eiver minachai, right? Not to eat a limb off a live animal. Why didn't Adam have that, by the way? We learned this together. Because Noach couldn't eat meat at all, right? Certainly not from a live animal. Couldn't eat it from a dead animal either, right? But But Noach was able to. So Noach was added a seventh one. Shenamar achbasar benafsha demolo sochelu. Very good. Noach was added a seventh. Nimsa sheva mitzvos. We find seven. And thus the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, right? Now it's sort of a misnomer, right? Because there were six before Noach. Noach only added one. But the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. It probably got the name sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach is because after Noach we then meet Avram. Now, there's a good amount of time from Noach until Avram, right? It's not just like, you know, the next day Avram was born, but that's the way that it stayed. Noach was the last one added, so there's seven mitzvahs. V'chein haya adavar b'chol ha'olam ad Avram. And that was the status in the whole world, seven commands until Avram Avinu. Ba Avram, Avram Avinu came along, v'nitztave yeser al elu. And we now got new commands on top of these. Bimila. Avram Avinu is commanded Bris Mila, right? Vihu hispalel shachris. And Avram Avinu davin shachris. So we now are up to nine, right? There were seven. Avram was commanded Bris Mila, eight. Then Avram Avinu davin shachris, so that got added. Avram Avinu made it up by himself, right? But that got added, now nine. V'Yitzchak, and then Yitzchak came along. Hifrish ma'aser. And Yitzchak separated tithes, right? He separated tithes. The Hosif Tfila Acheres Lifdos Hayom, and Yitzchak added Mincha, right? Another davening towards the end of the day. Yitzchak added Mincha. V'Yakov, and then came Yaakov, Hosif Gid Hanoshe V'Hispalel Arbis. Yaakov was added the command not to eat the Gid Hanoshe. And also, Yaakov Davin Marv. The Gidan Noshe is a tough one, by the way, still today, right? Right, to separate the different parts of the animal's hindquarter is very, very complicated, right? We, generally speaking, kosher slaughterhouses don't do it, right? They just sell off the hindquarters of the animal. It's why you don't find any kosher rump roast or filet mignon or, I mean, you can find them, but they're hard to find and they're very expensive because the process of separating the Gidan Noshe is very complicated and very difficult and most places don't bother. They just sell off the hindquarters and I don't know, that's just the way it works. In any event, we have enough meat. I'm not so worried about it, right? So Yaakov Avinu is added Gid Hanoshe and Tfilas Mariv. Uvi Mitzrayim, and when we get down to the Jews in Egypt, Nitztave Amram b'mitzvos Yiseiros. Amram, Moshe Rabbeinu's father, was commanded with more mitzvos. Rambam doesn't tell us what those mitzvos are. I don't know what those mitzvos are, but Amram received more mitzvos. Ad Sheba Moshe Rabbeinu and the Shalma Torah al Yado. Right, until Moshe Rabbeinu came and the whole Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have different stages through which the mitzvos were commanded. Adam HaRishon, six. Noach gets the seventh. Avraham Avinu adds two more. Yitzchak adds two more. Yaakov adds two more. Amram receives more mitzvos until Moshe Rabbeinu eventually receives the entire Torah. That's what the Rambam writes. By the way, where does the Rambam know? From where does the Rambam know that Yitzchak separated Maaser?
When he promises Hashem, it's a pasuk.
Yeah? Where is it? I'm ready.
If you give me bread and whatever.
No, that's Yaakov Avinu.
Oh.
That's Yaakov Avinu. We'll read those psukim in a few minutes. Uh-huh. That's Yaakov. It's not Yitzchak. It's interesting. I don't know. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says straight out that Yitzchak separated Maser. In fact, right, what Cindy's talking about is everybody turn to Bereishis Chof Ches, pasuk Chof. I'll tell you what page it's on. Let me turn there. I'll show you this. This is interesting. It's on page 146, right? On page 146. Pasuk Chaf. Chaf Ches Chaf. Page 146. So this is Yaakov Aminu. Yaakov leaves his parents' house, right? And Yaakov is heading out to find a wife to get away from his brother Esav. Two reasons why Yaakov is running out. And Yaakov, on his trip, right, he makes this promise, this oath. Vayidor Yaakov neder leimor. And Yaakov makes an oath saying, Im yeh Elohim imadi, if God will be with me, Ushmarani baderech hazeh asher anochi olech, and God guards me, watches me on this path that I am going. V'nosan li lechem lecho uveged lilbosh, and God gives me food and clothing. V'shavti b'shalom el beisavi, and I return peacefully to my parents' home. V'hoya adonai li leilohim, then God will be for me a God. V'ha'even hazos asher santi matseva yiyeh beis Elohim, and this stone that I am now placing will be a house of God. V'chol asher titein li aser asrenu lach, and all that God will give me, I will tithe aser asrenu lach. I will separate a tithe right to God, or a lach to you. It means to God, right? Okay, so don't ask me questions about Yaakov right now. Yaakov making deals with God, and how to, don't ask me that now. Well, maybe when we get up to this to Parshas Vayetze, maybe next week we'll talk about that. But we see from here, this is what Cindy was talking about, that it appears that Yaakov Avinu separates a ma'aser, right? That we know. In fact, there's, if you look in Dasikanim, on this pasuk, Dasikanim says, I'll read it to you, Yaakov tikein losais maaser min hamamon. Yaakov established to give maaser from monies. Now it's apparent, or it appears to be apparent, that Dasikanim argues with Rambam, right? Because Rambam thought that who gave maaser first? Yitzchak, not Yaakov. Very, very interesting. Right? Dasikanim thought Yaakov instituted Maaser. Rambam thought that Yitzchak instituted Maaser. Let me show you one more. Look in Bereishis Parak Yud Dalid. I'll tell you what page it's on. Let me turn the pages. Yud Dalid Chaf Zayin. Chaf Zayin? Yud Dalid Yud Zayin. Sorry. Yud Dalid Yud Zayin. It is on
64.
Thank you very much. Page 64. Thank you. Oh, that's exactly right. There it is. This is after the war with Sodom. You remember there's Avram Avinu fights a war, not with Sodom, but for Sodom. There was a war between the five kings and the four kings, and the four kings defeated the five kings, and Lot was taken captive along with everything else in Sodom, and Avram Avinu goes to rescue Lot, and Avram Avinu fights a war with the four kings. And Avram Avinu defeats the four kings. And after Avram Avinu returns from the battle with the four kings, he returns everything back to whoever it belonged to, you know, who was vanquished in the first war. And then the Torah tells us, Vayetze Melech Sodom Likraso, and the king of Sodom comes out to greet Avram Avinu. Acharei shuvo mehakos es Kedar laOmer v'yes hamalachim asher ito. After Avram Avinu defeated Kedar laOmer and the other three kings who were with him, El emek shavei hu emek hamelech. This is where the king of Sodom comes out to meet Avram Avinu. Umalkit Tzedek melech shalem hotzi lechem v'yayin. And Malkit Tzedek, Melech Shalem, right, comes out with bread and wine. V'hu Kohen le'el Elyon. And Malkit Tzedek was a priest of God. Vayivarchehu vayomar. And Malkit Tzedek blesses Avram Avinu, and he says, Baruch Avram le'el Elyon kone shemayim baretz. Blessed is Avram to God, the El Elyon kone shemayim baretz, who owns the heaven and the earth. Uvaruch el elyon asher migain sarecha biyadecha, and blessed is God who delivered your enemies into your hands, vayitain lo maaser mikol, and he, Avram Avinu, gave to him, to God, maaser mikol, right? Or gave, I shouldn't say that, I'm sorry. Not to God, gave to Malkit Tzedek Maaser Miko, a Maaser, a tenth, literally translated, from all that he had. So it appears from these psukim over here that who gave Maaser? Avram. So it's interesting. We have this concept called Maaser, right? What is Maaser, by the way? Maser, what is it?
To tithe,
okay. To give a percentage, generally speaking, I guess, a tenth, right? Maser comes from the root word eser, right? To give a tenth, a percentage of what?
What
you have. Ah, see here, now this is interesting. Who gave what? See, we haven't found the psukim yet where Yitzchak gives a tenth. The Rambam just told us that Yitzchak gives maser. Generally speaking, it's assumed that the Rambam learned it from the psukim that we started with. From the psukim in this week's parsha, that Yitzchak received me'asha arim, he received 100 times over what he got. Generally speaking, it's assumed the Rambam learned from here that Yitzchak gave maser. That Yitzchak gave his tithes. Now it's interesting. What did Yitzchak give his tithes from? Crop, produce. What did Yaakov or Avraham give tithes from? From, well, I don't know, right? Avraham Avinu gives maser mikol, from all. So what Cindy understood is that he gave all that he got in the war, right? All that he took, right? If you look by the psukim by Yaakov, Yaakov just says, v'chol asher titainli, anything that you give me, aser asrenulach. Right? So depending on where we decide to learn the source for this concept of maaser from, could dictate what it is that I'm giving maaser from. In fact, we know that there are different kinds of maaser, right? The classic maaser, right, is maaser that you give on produce. That's classic maser. Real maser is maser that you give on produce. And there are different kinds of maser, whatever it is, maser risha, maser sheni, whatever. There's different kinds of maser that you have to give. But real classic maser is maser that you give on produce. Now, to what extent is the maser that I give on produce and the maser that we give, say, from our monies and the like, to what extent are they linked? To what extent are they the same? And to what extent are they different? Now, this is a very, very important question, by the way. This is a very, very important question. Before we answer it, I just want to finish with this avos, before we move on to that. It's fascinating that we have three different possibilities, each indicating that each of the avos started giving maser. The psukim seem to indicate that Avraham gave maser, right? The Rambam thought that Yitzchak was the one who gave maser, and we saw Dasakeinim says that it was Yaakov that gave maser. In fact, I just lost my place, okay. In fact, the Ravid asks on the Rambam. The Ravid asks, I don't understand. What do you mean that Yitzchak started maser? The Rambam thinks that the Rambam made a mistake. And the Ravid says that this is a mistake, and what it should say, Kein Haya Ra'oi Lomar, it should say, V'hu Hispalel Shachris, Vehifrish maser. Who daven shachris? Avram. That Avram Avinu daven shachris and separated maser. That Ravid argues with the Rambam. Yeah.
It's not really clear whether Avram gave maser to Hashem.
Very, very good.
It's not clear.
So this is another very, very important question. To whom do I give my maser? Another very, very important question. Right?
Bases.
What?
It just covered all bases.
Well, it's everybody. They're all right. Yeah. Oh, they gave a korban. There's no indication over there that is maser. See, what's the difference between a korban and a maaser? What's the difference? A maaser is a percentage. A percentage of what? That's a good question. But a korban is not based on anything else. I give a korban. I give a korban. Right? This is not clear. You're shaving your head at me.
Above and beyond maser.
It could be above and beyond maser. That's a very good question. Okay, so this is a good halachic question, right? To what extent, let's say I give a korban. Let's talk, modern terms. We don't have korbanos. Let's say I don't know, what do? I don't know. I give some money to the young Israel. Right? Let's say I give some money to the young Israel. So to what extent is that part and parcel of my maser? It's a very good question, right? Is that what that's what you're asking me, right? Above and beyond or not. Very good. We'll get there. Yeah.
Well, there is the concept that, like, the mincha, which was the non-meat karban, was sort of like the poor man's karban. Like,
correct.
You couldn't afford
very good.
The animal that you brought that. So even with the karbanot, there is a relationship between your income and the karban you bring, even if it's not in percentage.
Certainly is. Right. Certainly is. That's more of a leniency. That I shouldn't say leniency. It's not any worse. It's that the Torah gives multiple modes. Somebody needs to bring a carbon. They can only afford a certain amount. So what do they do? So we have different modes. One is not better or worse than the other, right? The Mishnah says that, what does the Mishnah say? With regards to korbanos, the Mishnah says that echad amarbe v'echad hamamit ubilvad sheichavin eslibo la'aviv shevashamayim. If that's not exactly right, it's really, really close. But the Mishnah is talking about korbanos when it says that. That one who gives a nicer korban and one who gives a lesser korban, it's all the same as long as the intentions and everything are right. Right, so you're correct that the korban that I give, right, will be influenced by how much money that I have. But there's still a divide between these two concepts. There is still a divide between these two concepts. Okay, excellent. So we have these three sources. We have the Ravid. By the way, the Kesef Mishnah, in case you're interested, the Kesef Mishnah deals with the Ravid's question. How come the Rambam didn't realize that Avram gave? Now, the Ravid wasn't bothered by Yaakov. Why was he not bothered by Yaakov? Because Avram was first, right? If Yitzchak instituted giving maaser, like the Rambam says that Yitzchak instituted giving maaser, it's not troubling that Yaakov gives maaser. It just means that Yaakov, you know, did what his father did. Now, Dasi Kanim writes that Yaakov instituted it before, you know, it seems like he was the first one. Okay, so the Rambam wouldn't agree with Dasi Kanim, but Yaakov doesn't bother the Ravid. What bothers Ravid is Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu came first. So it's interesting what Ravid writes. I read, no, Avram Avinu didn't give maser. He gave a maser. Meaning at one time, in one place, Avraham Avinu separated, you know, maybe like Cindy was saying before, from the spoils of the war, only in that one instance. Avraham Avinu didn't always do this. It's not constant, not always. One time, in one occasion, Avraham Avinu gave. Yitzchak set up that there would always be this concept Yitzchak gave, that every always be maser, which is expressed in the Pesukim by Yaakov more than it is by Yitzchak, but that's what Keset Mishnah thinks that Yaakov Avinu believed. Now it's interesting, we could ask to what extent, if this is true, what Keset Mishnah says, it means that Avram Avinu didn't give maser. That's very, very interesting. That Avram Avinu didn't give maser. Generally speaking, I believe that we assume that Avram Avinu kept all of the mitzvos. Right? Generally speaking, that's what we're always taught. When I was a little kid in grade school in Yeshiva of North Jersey, that's what they taught me. Right? That Avraham Avinu kept all of the mitzvahs. That's what we always learned. And that's why everybody's always bothered. Everybody has to go figure out, well, how does Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? Right? That's what everybody always asks. Right? If the Avos kept all of the mitzvahs and they knew all of the Torah, so how does Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? Right? Everybody, right? Okay, good. Different question. It's not for today, but that's what everybody always asks. So here we have Avraham Avinu, right? And according to the Kesef Mishnah, Avraham Avinu doesn't keep maser. It's very interesting. What?
We always ask why.
Oh, okay. How does he serve the angels milk and meat together? Right? Right. Okay. Very good. Very good. Right. Also a good question. Also a good question. All these questions are asked. You know, asked by Chazal, asked in the Rishonim, in the Achronim. There's a myriad of answers. But 1 week we'll discuss it. I don't know when. But 1 week we'll get there. Right? In any event. Right? We have Avraham Avinu here not keeping maser. This is a big question. How does Avraham Avinu not keep maser? So what's the easiest answer, by the way? It's not a mitzvah. Wow, really? Maybe is maser a mitzvah?
We're still hung up on the sisters.
Really? How does Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? Okay, we'll get there when we get up to Yaakov Avinu. Maybe that week also we won't learn text, then we'll learn the sources. How does Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? Okay, could be that he shouldn't have, by the way. All right, I'm already giving it away. All right, whatever. We'll learn it when we get there. So how do we have Avraham Avinu not giving maser? How do we have such a thing? So one possibility, by the way, is that maser is not a real mitzvah. Now, when I say maser is not a real mitzvah, we have to be very, very careful what I mean by that. Right? Giving maser from your produce is clearly a mitzvah. Right? That's very, very certain. But to give maser from your monies is not so certain that that's a mitzvah. In fact, what? I wouldn't tell anybody that. Okay. Well, to give tzedakah is a mitzvah. That there is no doubt. But to give exactly 1/10 called maser ksafim, that's what we call it, maser ksafim, is not so clear that that's a mitzvah midaraisa. I'll give you some of the sources. The Gemara in Masechta Tanis and Daf Tes writes the following. The Torah tells us, aser ta'aser, right? To separate your tithes. Now, what's the Torah talking about? Very, very clear what the Torah is talking about, by the way. It's talking about produce. The Torah is very, very clear, right? When it talks about tithes, it's talking about produce. But the Gemara says, aser to aser, you should certainly tithe, the double language, aser bishvil shetis asher, right? You should separate tithes so that you should become wealthy. That's what the Gemara learns. It's a double language. Aser to aser, you should tithe so that you should become wealthy. Now the Gemara tells a story. One time, Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan Lianuka Deresh Lakish. There was one time that Rabbi Yochanan found a kid in Amar Lei, Eimali Psukech. He said to him, tell me what you're learning. Right? I love doing that, by the way. You meet a little kid, he's in school, so, hi, I'm Aaron Feigenbaum, how's it going? So what are you learning in school? I don't know, some Chumash. Okay, so what are you learning in Chumash? Great fun. I know, I'm not nice. Good fun, right? So he said to him, what we learned, right? Amar Lei, aser ta aser. The Torah says you should tithe. Amar Lei, umay aser ta aser. Rabbi Yochanan didn't let him go. He didn't let him go. He said, well, why is there a double language? What is that? Aser ta aser? Why is that a double language? So Amar Lei, so the kid responded, Aser b'shvil shetis asher. You should tithe so that you should become rich. Amar Lei minalach. Rabbi Yochanan said, well, how do you know that? Minalach. Really? Really? How do you know that? Amar Lei, listen to this. Amar Lei, the kid said to him, Zil, nisi. Well, go test it. Go tithe your stuff and see what happens. What do you mean? How do I know? Go test it. Leave me alone. Don't ask me questions. Go test it. See what happens. Omar Lei, umishari l'nasuyi l'akadosh baruch hu. Rabbi Yochanan says that we're allowed to test God. God, I'm going to eat kosher this week, and let's see what happens. Let's see if I get some fancy reward. God, this week I'm going to keep Shabbos, and let's see what kind of reward you give me. We do that? Really? Go ahead. The kid says to him, go tithe your stuff and see what happens. You'll see. You'll get rich. Go ahead. So if Yochanan asks him, we do that? Really? Do we do things like that? V'hok siv lo sinasu es Hashem. The Torah says, we don't test God. We don't test God. So Amar Lei, the kid responded, smart kid, by the way. Amar Lei, hachi amar Rav Hoshea. No, Rav Hoshea taught us the following. Chutz mizu. There's an exception to the rule. And the exception to the rule is giving maaseh. And why is that exception to the rule? Listen to these psukim. Beautiful psukim in Sefer Malachi. Beautiful psukim. Malachi says, God says, Heviu es kol ha-maaser el beis ha-otzer vihi teref bivesi. Bring all of your tithes to the storehouse and let there be grain in the house, for all of the poor and for everybody who needs, bring all of it. Uvichanuni na bazos, amar Adonai Tzvaos. And test me with this, God says. Test me, God says. Test me. Try me. Bring out all of the meiser. And let's see. Im lo eftach lachem es arubos hashamayim. If I will not open up for you all of the windows to heaven, v'harikosi lachem bracha ad b'lidai, and I will rain down on you blessing ad b'lidai with no end, with no stopping. My ad b'lidai. What does that mean? With no stopping. Amar Rabbi, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Amar Rav, ad sheyibolu sifso sechem milomar dai, until your lips become swollen from saying enough, enough. We have too much. Enough. It's enough. Malachi writes. These are beautiful psukim. No, Malachi writes that God invites us to test Him. God says, "Try me. If you bring out all of your maaser and you put it in the storehouses, and there's food for everybody who needs, and there's enough, try me." Im lo eftach lachem es arubos hashamayim v'harikosi lachem bracha ad b'lidai. If I will not open for you the windows to heaven and rain down on you bracha until there is more than enough, until with no end, with no stop. So the Gemara here says, right, this kid and his conversation with Rabbi Yochanan, right, that the Torah tells us, aser to aser, I should tithe, so that I should become wealthy, and this apparently is the exception to the rule. We can go test. Go find out. Go see. Don't tell me any. Don't tell me that you've tried it. I don't know. That's what the Gemara says, right? But try it. Try it. Do it. Try it. That's what it says. That's what the halacha is. We're allowed to try. Psukim in Malachi. Let's see what happens. Somebody, I don't know. I don't know. Try. See what happens. So that's what the Gemara says. And Tosfos on this Gemara writes the following. You see, this Gemara is only talking about produce, right? Because the Pasuk is only talking about produce. But Tosfos writes the following. Tosfos says in the Sifri, I didn't look it up in the original, I trust Tosfos. Tosfos says, Hachi Isa b'Sifri, this is what the Sifri says, Aser ta aser es kol tfuas zarecha yotze asader shana shana, that you tithe all of the produce of the field, ainli ela tfuas zarecha, shechayev b'maser. That only tells me that the produce of the field is obligated in maser. But ribis and pragmatia, business, earnings that I have, v'chol sha'ar rivachim, and any other means that I make money minayin, how do I know that I have to give maser? How do I know? Talmud lomar es kol. The Torah says, aser to aser es kol tvuas zarecha. Right? I have to tithe es kol. All of the produce of the field. The Torah could have said, aser to aser, you have to tithe, tvuas zarecha, the produce of your field. What is this, eskol, all? That comes to tell us, eskol dahave matzi, lemeimar, es tvuasecha, my kol, rabos, ribis, pragmatia, v'chol davar shemar v'yachbo. The extra words in the pasuk come to tell me that I have to tithe any other way that I make money. So any income that I have, I need to tithe. By the way, just so that you know, there's always this question when you talk about giving miser from money, right? Is that pre-tax or post-tax? Or Moshe Feinstein paskins that it's post-tax, that the taxes that you pay are not considered income, even though technically speaking it's income and then you pay the tax. Everybody's with me right here, right? Rav Moshe says that that's not really considered income, and you don't have to, when you calculate maser, you don't have to calculate the monies that you give to the government. Then Rav Moshe asks the next question. Well, hang on 1 second. Because if I give tzedakah, then I can deduct that, right, from my taxes. And so then I pay less taxes. So now I just saved some money by giving tzedakah. So do I now have to give that money to tzedakah? Who does that money belong to? Right? Everybody understand right here, right? I had a certain amount of income. I gave money to tzedakah. Now, since I gave money to tzedakah, I pay less taxes. So now I have more money. So whose money is that? Whose money is that? So Moshe says that's your money. That doesn't belong to tzedakah. That's your money. Rav Moshe says that money belongs to you. It's not money that you had before. It's money that you now, Rav Moshe thinks that belongs to you. And when you calculate your miser, you calculate miser post-taxes. That's what Rav Moshe assumes. But okay, fine. I just throw that out because it's important. Everybody always asks. In any event, right, Tosfos seems to indicate that this mitzvah of taking maser from your money is a mitzvah midaraisa. Now, I should be honest and tell you that that's a severe minority opinion. That this mitzvah of giving maser from general income, now tzedakah, yes, but maser, generally speaking, is assumed to be a mitzvah midrabanan, and there are even some, for example, the Maharam Meirutenberg, who thought that not only is this not a mitzvah midaraisa, but it is not the mitzvah midrabanan, and tis merely a minhag. Tis merely a custom. Now, I should be very clear. A minhag that I've done for a considerable amount of time, right, is something that I need to keep and continue to do. Right? But Maharam Meirutenberg assumed that giving maser ksafim is only a minhag. Majority opinions is that it's not a mitzvah midaraisa. Right, some assume mitzvah midrabanan, some assume that it's a minog. A majority opinion is that it's not a mitzvah midaraisa. Now, there are a handful of very, very interesting machloksim that relate around this question of what is the status of giving maser ksafim. Right? In other words, to what extent, like we asked before, but I didn't get to the answer, to what extent is maser ksafim linked, tied, or related to maser that we certainly have in the Torah? The tithes of produce. Now, anybody know, by the way, to whom do the tithes of produce go? So there are different tithes, right? There are different tithes. Some go to the Kohen, some go to the Levi, some go to the poor, some I get to keep, right? I just have to bring it to Yerushalayim. There are different kinds of tithes. To whom does Maser Ksafim go? Good question. Okay, I'll ask you one more. Exactly right. Yes, right. The shul. Everybody. Okay, there you go. That's right. Finished. We're done. All right, no, but seriously, right? To whom does Maaser Ksafim go? One. Second, there's a status called Tevel. Right? Anybody know what Tevel is? Okay, when I have produce, right? When I have produce, I need to separate Maaser. Before I separate Maaser, the produce is called Tevel. You're not allowed to eat tevel, It's very, very bad to eat teva. It's not good, right? You're not allowed to eat teva. So before I separate maser, the food, the produce, is all prohibited. It's all forbidden. Do we have a similar halacha by maser ksafim? Really? That would be totally wild, right? That would be totally, totally wild. I have my income. Before I separate my maser, not allowed to use the money. I want to go buy some groceries. Nope. Nope. Haven't separated maser yet. I want to get a new pair of shoes. Nope. Nope. Haven't separated maser yet. So I just tell you, there is a Maharil. There is a Maharil. This is wild. I didn't know this Maharil. I read it in this book over here, Chavatzelas HaSharon. This is the book, by the way, that I was reading when I was on vacation. It's interesting stuff on the parsha. I don't know, halacha and lamdus, and I don't know. It's advanced, but I was reading it when I was away, and so he quoted this Maharil, which had me thinking. Maharil believes that there is an iser tevel. Wow, that before I separate maser ksafim, I'm not allowed to touch my monies. I'm not allowed to use them for anything. That is not, generally speaking, assumed to be normative halacha. Maharil, I don't know. It's quoted by the Ramah. So Maharil is early Rishonim, late Rishonim, you know, in the Middle Ages.
Right,
in the Middle Ages, yeah.
This Maser Ksafim.
Yeah.
Where does it come from? Do we know? I mean, did it come
fascinating.
From, like, look, I don't have produce, so I'm going to take my money?
It's really, really fascinating. Right, so to what extent is Maser Ksafim related to Maser that we have in the Torah? To what extent is Maser Ksafim just a fancy term for tzedakah? Right? Well, that's a very fascinating debate, right? This is a huge, huge debate. Oh, let's learn a little bit. Let's learn a little bit, right? Correct. So to what extent is Maser Ksafim just a fancy way of saying tzedakah? And to what extent is it something different? To what extent is it something above and beyond? You know, this is a tremendous debate. This is not simple, by the way. This is not simple. But let's learn a little bit. There's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch that I wanna learn with you. One halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. By the way, we don't assume like that Maharil. It exists. It's nice to know that it's out there, but we don't want to assume that way. We don't assume that way. There's another Maharil that we do assume like. And to what extent are those two Maharils related? Ah, that will be a very interesting question. But first, let's learn a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes the following. You find there's halachos of tzedakah in the Shulchan Aruch, by the way. Maybe I should give a shir, a series. It can't be one shir. Maybe I'll give a series on giving tzedakah. It's complicated. It's not easy. Right? In any event. Right? The Shulchan Aruch paskins. Everybody ready? How much tzedakah do I have to give? That's a good question. It's very, very important. So Shulchan Aruch paskins, Shir Nisinasa, this is Shulchan Aruch Yoredei Simin Reish Mem Tes. Shir Nisinasa, the amount that I need to give, Im Yado Maseges, if I have enough money. See, Amara, the Shulchan Aruch already starts, right? He doesn't give the answer. How much do I have to give? Well, it depends. How much do you have, right? Im Yado Maseges, if I have enough money, Yitein Kifit Tzorech Ha'anim. I give how much do the poor people need. Guy comes to you, he says, I need $100. Do I have $100 that I can give him? If the answer is yes, so give him $100. Now that's assuming, by the way, that fellow needs $100. I mean, no. All right, but in any event,
not
right?
Drugs.
What?
Yeah.
In any event, right? But assuming everything is correct, im yado maseges, if you have the money, so then you give him. Vim ein yado maseges kokach, but you don't have the money, or you have a lot of poor people. I'm a wealthy person. Ein yado maseges, I mean, you know, there are limits, especially today with communications the way that they are. It's very, by the way, one of the most difficult things for me since I've been here is dealing with all of the tzedakah. This is the first, I mean, I manage my own tzedakah, but this is the first time I'm managing the shul tzedakah account. Eileen, how many do we get a day? A day, people asking for money. Three, four, five?
Several times the same person?
Maybe a day. I'm saying a day asking for money. So thank God we have money in a tzedakah account here, but I mean, not that much. Yeah, everybody get that? All right? You know, listen. I know it's very, very difficult. It's very complicated. So how much do you give? So the Mechaber writes, Mitzvah min ha-muvchar, Yitein ad chomesh nechasav mitzvah min ha-muvchar. The mitzvah min ha-muvchar, a fifth. Right? Now, by the way, that's the halacha by many mitzvahs. A fifth. The halacha by many mitzvahs. Chomesh min ha-chasav. Right? The Gemara says that ha-mevazveis al yevazveis yosar mi-chomesh. Somebody who spends money on mitzvahs and things like that cannot, you should not spend more than a fifth, more than 20% of what you have. Should not be more than that. Ve'echa me'asara mido beninus. What's normal? That's mitzvah min hamuvcha. That's the normal is a tenth, 10%. That's normal. Pachus mikan, less than that, Mechaber says is ayin ra. It's a bad eye. Less than 10%. That's a bad eye. And the Ramah here writes something very, very interesting. The Ramah writes that when we say, when we say a fifth, the Ramah says, Dafka kol yimei chayav. That's when you're alive. Aval b'shas moso yochol adam litein staka kol mashi yirtza. When we say you're not allowed to give more than a fifth, that's when you're alive, right? When a person is dead, he's allowed to give all of his money to tztaka, the Ramah says. Now, by the way, I just want to point out, right? The Mechaber said, Echad me'asara midabeninis, normal is a tenth. What's the Mechaber talking about here? Talking about the regular mitzvah of tztaka. This is the regular mitzvah of tztaka that the Mechaber is talking about, right? Now the Ramah writes the following. Ooh, are you ready? Ve'ein lasos mima'aser shalo davar mitzvah. You should not use your ma'aser money to perform mitzvos. He gives examples. Kigon, neiros leves hakneses, to provide light. Remember, they didn't have electric light. They had candles, right? So you should not use your ma'aser money to provide candles for the shul. O sha'ar dvar mitzvah, or any other mitzvah, rak yitnenu la'aniyim. Your maser money, the Ramah says, should be going directly to poor people. Directly to poor people. Now, if I can carry over the Ramah's case, see, we don't have candles in the shul, but we have electric lights. So can I use my maser money to give a donation to the shul so that they can cover expenses? Sounds no. Sounds like no. That's what the Ramah writes. Now, where did the Ramah get this halacha from? From the Maharil. That's where the Ramah got this halacha from. Now, we already know another Maharil, right? The Maharil who thought that there was an Isser Tevel on my Maser money. So the Maharil believed that there is a strong link, a very, very strong connection between the Maser that we have on produce and the Maser that I give from my money. So much so that the Maharil thought that my money is an Isser Tevel. It should not surprise us, therefore, that the Maharil believes that whom does my maser money need to go to? To the poor people. Because maser that we have in the Torah, some of it at least, went to poor people. Right? Mm-hmm. It appears to me, that the Maharil believed that there was a strong link between the maser that we have in the Torah on produce and the maser ksafim that we give, which manifests itself in these two Maharils that we learned, one which is quoted in the Ramah, and another which is not. But the Shach argues on this Ramah.
Most of the money we're giving are like to support these yeshivas and everything. That's
So does that count? Very, very good question. So the Shach argues with the Ramah. Yeah, Amara. Oh, one second, Amara, before, right? If I only knew this Ramah, the question would become, to what extent are those people considered poor people? Right? Because the Ramah believes that my maser money needs to go to poor people. If it's not going to poor people, then it doesn't count.
Right.
Or it should not be done. That's if I only knew this Ramah. We're going to learn more in a second. But yeah, Mara.
Well, if we're talking about the link between, giving a percentage of our money, for a shul to function, and, the maestro that they gave they're obligated in the Torah. I mean, the master that went to the Kohen and the Levi was in essence paying the staff people of the Mikdash.
Very good, yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of the same sort of, yeah. I mean, they're not poor people, but they're paying for the functioning
right.
of the Mikdash.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know. Good question. The Shach argues with this Ramah, or argues or amends, take your pick, it doesn't matter. The Shach writes the following. The Shach quotes from the Marshal and the Drisha that they quote from Maharam Meirutenberg. They quote, now we learned another Maharam Meirutenberg already today, right? Maharam Meirutenberg believes that Maser Ksafim is not a mitzvah midaraisa, not a mitzvah midarabana, and it's only a minho. And the same Maharam Meirutenberg writes the following, that any mitzvah that comes to your hand, for example, Lihios Baal Bris, to make a bris, right? You have a kid, you have to make a bris, that costs money. right? My sister just had a baby boy yesterday, right? There's going to be a bris on Tuesday. I'm not sure if I'm going to go or not. I don't know yet. But I didn't get to see the baby. I was already in Virginia when they called me. In any event, right? So they're going to make a bris, right? So that costs money. Oh, lahachnis chasan v'kala l'chupa, to make a wedding, that costs money. Any mitzvah that comes to your hand, or liknos svarim, lilmod bahen, I have to learn. If I'm going to learn, I need svarim, right? That costs money. If I'm going to lend svarim to somebody else, that could cost money. In any of these cases, im lo haya yecholes biyado velo haya osa osa mitzvah, if without spending this money, I'm not going to be able to do it. I won't be able to do it. Yachol liknos min hamaser. I am allowed to use the maser money to buy svarim, or to make a bris, or to make a wedding, or anything like that. Any of those mitzvahs, I can use maser money to fulfill any of those mitzvahs. And then Maharam Meir Rutenberg writes another chiddush that the Shach quotes. He says, "Ulefazer maasrosav livanov hagdolim she'eno chayiv letapel bahem." Let's say I have kids, and my kids grow up. See, my kids are very little. My kids grow up, and my kids need a little bit of help. Maybe they're just starting out. I don't know. Maybe they're just married, whatever it is. My kids need a little bit of help, and I want to give them some money. Can I count that as miser money?
No.
Yes. So Maharam says, mutter. Yes. It's allowed. Maharam says that's allowed. The afilu la'aviv mutter la'seis, and also the reverse. Let's say my parents now are older, and my parents aren't working, and my parents need help. So can I use maser money to take care of my parents? Maharam Meir Rutenberg says yes, right? Because laseis imhu ani, it can be classified as ani, assuming by the way that it is ani, right? Can be classified as ani, and therefore I can give to my children, I can give to my parents. B'makom she'ein ba'ir takana laseis lakishel tztaka. Now apparently there were times where towns used to collect a tax. You lived in this town, you had to pay a tax that they would use to support aniyim. So if you lived in a town that had that kind of tax, you couldn't say to them, well, I'm giving tztaka over here, I'm not paying the tax. You had to pay the tax, right? But that aside, Maharam Meir Rutenberg says, you can give to your children, to your parents, whatever it is, from your maiser. U'mashma dimutter afilu yesh biyado yecholes lefarnes mimakom acher. Even if I have enough money, I can give a tenth of money to some poor people, and I'll still have enough money that I can take care of my kids or my parents. Shach says, it sounds from the Maharam Meir Rutenberg that even in that instance, you can use maser, right, for your children or for your parents or whatever it is. Dizeh have tzedakah. Because it's just like tzedakah. It's interesting. It appears to me that there's an interesting machlokas here between the Maharam Meir Rutenberg and the Maharil. That the Maharam Meir Rutenberg thought that Maiser Ksafim is just another fancy way of saying tzedakah. Which is why Maharam Meir Rutenberg thought there is no special command of Maiser Ksafim, it's just a minhag, Maiser Ksafim. It's why Maharam Meir Rutenberg says that I'm allowed to use my Maiser Ksafim for bris milah, for weddings, for svarim, to give my kids, to give my parents. It's all Maharam Meir Rutenberg. It's all the same person, most probably all the same thing. As opposed to Maharil believes quite the contrary. Maharil believes that our concept of Maiser Ksafim parallels and is patterned after the Maser that you have in the Torah. It's its own beast. It's its own entity, separate and different from the mitzvah of tzedakah. And that's why Maharil thinks that there is this concept of tevel by the money before I give Maser. It's why Maharil is very, very particular to whom I am allowed to give the Maser to what I am allowed to use it for, because it's very different from tzedakah. It's separate and it's not the same. In any event, these are some of the interesting makoros in terms of understanding this concept of Maser Ksafim, and depending on who you trust, either Maser Ksafim is learned from this morning's Parsha, like the Rambam says, this morning's Parsha, this week's Parsha, like the Rambam says, from Yitzchak Avinu, or Maser Ksafim is learned from Avram Avinu, like the Ravid believed, or Maser Ksafim is learned from Yaakov Avinu, like the Dasikena Mibali Atosvas assumed. Any way you look at it, the Avos gave Maser, this concept of Maser Ksavim, to what extent is it its own being, to what extent is it part of the mitzvah of tzedakah, and some of the interesting halachas that we started to learn today. We'll have to take some more time in the future and learn with a little bit more detail. What are the obligations of tzedakah? What are the obligations of Maser? Where do they cross over? Where are they separate? It's very, very complicated. It'll take us a good amount of time, but we'll put that on the back burner. One day we'll learn that. That's what I wanted to do this morning, learn with you this concept of Maser Ksavim that we learned from the Avos, to what extent the Avos kept it, and some of the concepts behind it. Everybody have a great day.